On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
I am so excited about this Amtrak train going to Mobile. My brother and his family live in Mobile, and it's going to be so much fun. I remember as a kid, we had friends in Gulfport growing up, and my parents would put us on the train and send us over there. We would take the train over to Gulfport, Biloxi to see our friends, and it was just so cool. And so to be able to take the train, I think it's going to stop in Bay St. Louis. I would think this is going to make property value in Bay St. Louis go up even more, because think about all those people who want to move to Bay St. Louis, and now they don't have to commute. They can take the train, and it's going to take a little while, but you could do your work while you're on the train. I mean, that's the way it is, like in the Northeast. You know, people go between New York and Washington D.C. and Philadelphia all the time, and they just bring work with them, and they work on the train. So I am so excited that Amtrak is doing this. I'm going to support Amtrak because I'm going to take that train to Mobile more than once, and it's just very reasonably priced. So I think this is really, really exciting. So hopefully one day it goes past there and goes on to Pensacola. And ultimately, could it one day go to Jacksonville? I mean, I don't know where the Amtrak tracks go, but that would be really nice. So anyway, I'm really excited about the Amtrak train. And, you know, now you can go up through Mississippi all the way to Memphis. Well, you can go all the way to Chicago. But, you know, I've talked to people. In fact, Dan Barron, our market manager, came here from Memphis, and I asked him once if he ever took the train. He said, yeah, it's great. So if you've never been on a train, look for an excuse to take an Amtrak train, because it's really nice. You know, the train starts off so slowly that you don't have to sit down. There's no fasten your seat belt. There's no, you know, put your seat in an upright position. There's none of that stuff. There's a car where you can enjoy adult beverages. And I guess they're going to have a snack club car on the train as well. But look, I love the train. When I was in the Northeast, I would take the train. But mainly when I was in Seattle and Portland, I would take the train back and forth. And when I was in San Diego, I took the train up to Los Angeles, and that's a beautiful Amtrak ride. So I'm so excited that we're having service here. And one day, maybe there'll be a service between New Orleans and Baton Rouge. Hey, look, I want to go back to the caller we had at the end of last hour, Jeff from Mississippi. And, you know, Jeff said something about, well, yeah, I remember listening to WWL when it was great. Let me tell you something. This is a great station. It's still a great station. And this idea, and I want to just be very brief with this. If you believe what I'm about to tell you, I mean, if you disagree with what I'm about to tell you, if you think otherwise, then you are admitting that you've been brainwashed by the conservative media echo chamber. George Soros did not buy this station. George Soros invested in this station as an investment, invested in this company. There has been no programming changes since that investment took place. So what are you talking about? And when you make a comment on social media, you're just acting stupid if you think that anything has happened as a result of that. He has no control over programming whatsoever. It was an investment. And so I don't know what people are talking about. Newell has not become a liberal. Tommy has not become a liberal. I have not changed at all. So what is your, if you've been brainwashed into thinking that somehow George Soros has an impact on this station, everything's changed, what are you basing that on? I mean, you have to have some evidence to support that. And it's simply not true. I got my first job on WWL when I was 17 years old. And 55 years later, here I am on the air, still working at WWL. Now, I took a break in there and went to some other cities, and various reasons led to that decision to go to other cities. And I had a great experience traveling around the country and being on the air in great cities in this country. And I learned a lot. But I love being back here on WWL. This is a great station. And this station allows people to have their opinions. And when it comes time for an emergency, when there's a hurricane approaching, or when there's any kind of disaster or emergency situation, opinions are gone. None of that matters, and all we do is serve the community. That's what we do. And we serve the community every single day. This idea that we all have to agree is not even American. Americans have never agreed on everything. And one of the reasons that people came here in the first place was to go to a place where they didn't have to agree with what the government said was their religion. They came here to be free of that. And WWL reflects the freedoms that we have in this country. And again, when it comes time to really serving the community, this show or this station, we put everything aside, and all we do is bring you the information you need. So make no mistake about it. This station is as great, it's even greater than it has been in the past. And I started out working for Bob Ruby when I was 17 years old, and I've seen this station change over the years. Maybe more so than a lot of people who were even here. I've seen the changes. Everything changes. Fox News is different now than it was when it started. WWL is different now than when it started. And if you don't change in this business, you die. And WWL is alive and well, and it is part of your lives every day. And we don't have to agree. And everything that that caller Jeff said I don't talk about, I talk about. The border. The bombing in Iran. We talk about the top stories. The president of the United States visits alligator Alcatraz and gives advice on how to escape an alligator if it's chasing you. I guess he's giving advice to any of the illegal immigrants that are captured and put in that detention center if they want to escape, how to escape an alligator. He talked about how if you try to escape, you're going to be eaten. He introduces a fragrance, $249. Yeah, that's really appealing to the average mega supporter. We talk about what's in the news. We talked about the new gun law going into effect August 1st right here in New Orleans. We talk about a lot of things outside of Donald Trump. But when Donald Trump puts himself in the news and he's the president of the United States, yes, we're going to talk about that too. And we're not going to make excuses and we're not going to apologize for that. That's what we do. And we will continue to do that on a daily basis. And a lot of people agree with everything we're doing. Don't they have a right to have a show that reflects their mentality, their ideology? I mean, there are countless conservative talk shows across this country. There are few people who do what we do on this show. And it's very successful. I always wanted to be even more successful. So don't make any mistake about it. WWL is greater than it has ever been before, right now. And it's going to continue to get better as time goes on. And there is no other station like this in America. And I'm proud to say that. It's just, it's amazing. The management, everybody here, it's amazing. And I'm proud to work here. And you should be proud to be listening to this station because it is unique, it is different, and it's right here in New Orleans. And I just, it's the misinformation that bothers me. And I am so far beyond really being personally affected by anybody who thinks I'm gay. I don't care, other than I care that people have misinformation and that people are being hateful. It's not that they say I'm gay. It's their act of trying to be hateful toward me. Why? Because we disagree? Why is that not acceptable? That's what this is all about. And this is why a lot of Trump supporters are angry. They're angry because not everybody agrees. Why should you care that everybody doesn't agree with you or with Trump? Why should you care about that? Celebrate that your guy won the election and he's in office and he's doing what you want him to do. And so if we disagree with some of the things that he wants to do, why is that any different from you disagreeing with what Joe Biden did? Why didn't you agree with Joe Biden? If it's American to agree with the president, why didn't you agree with Joe Biden? I mean, it's the same thing. this is what irritates me. It's just the anger. It's the hate. It's the, you have to agree with me, or I'm going to tell you how to lead your life. Hey, listen, I'm doing fine. You don't need to tell me how to lead my life. You don't need to tell me what political opinions to have. I've been living a long time. I've been in this business 55 years. I've heard a lot. I've seen a lot. And I base my opinions on that. And if some of my opinions are different from yours, that's okay.
A word about WWL and why we're different and why we're special. Because you're really right. There is not another radio station like this anywhere else in the country. And that's not just something that we're just gassing ourselves up about that. Other people in the industry who have come here and worked here and seen what we do walk away saying, there is no other station like this anywhere in the country. And to what you just said about, you know, everyone's got to be so angry and it's got to be about who you hate. And do you hate the right person? Do you hate the same people as me? Who has a right to be here? Who has a right to call themselves an American? Who has a right to be who they want to be? Arguments about that is not what this station is about. It's not about shouting matches. It's not about dunking on people who think differently than you. It's about listening. It's about learning. It's about maintaining a space where you matter. Your story matters. Your voice matters. Are we perfect? No, we don't have all the answers. Sometimes Scoot gets it wrong. Sometimes we get it wrong. But we are here to learn with you, to keep the conversation honest, to keep it human. And we're going to move forward as a community, or we're not going to move forward at all. And it's not going to be because Donald Trump or Joe Biden or some politician came down and saved us. It's going to be because we showed up for each other. If you're tired of the noise, if you're tired of the anger, if you're ready for a place where we can be real with each other, where we can be neighbors to each other, then we're glad you're here. Because this is not just generic talk radio station, you know, WXYZ. This is a community. This is your connection to the place you call home.
And don't take this station for granted. Don't take it for granted. Support this station. Don't take it for granted, because this is a unique gem. I mean, why would I want to tune into a station where everybody has the same opinion? I mean, how is that not boring? You know, you can tune in anytime and you know what the rhetoric is going to be. You tune into our show, you tune into this station, you don't know what the rhetoric is. And because I'm a radical, moderate, registered independent, I have opinions that are conservative, I have opinions that are liberal. And that's okay. And I'm not going to change, because I really reflect the majority of Americans. The majority of Americans are not right or left. They're somewhere in the middle, leaning right, leaning left. This show really does reflect the majority. We reflect the people who actually decide who wins the White House. And in this last election, Donald Trump won the election. And that is totally accepted. But that doesn't mean I have to agree with everything that he says. Many of you didn't agree with Joe Biden. That's okay. I mean, I didn't agree with Joe Biden. And you know, Ian brings up a great point. Several things can be true at the same time. I speculated, because of what I know about Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I speculated that the shooter may have been part of that right-wing violent mentality that is in Coeur d'Alene. It is a beautiful part of the country, but there's some ugly people there. And I'm not going to apologize for that. I also brought up the idea that he wanted to be a firefighter. And that I didn't, maybe this happened while I was on the air, but I didn't know that he was rejected officially. I knew that his grandfather said he might have been rejected as a fireman. Maybe that's been proven while I was on the air, or determined while I was on the air. And I don't know that. And if that's something that happened, well, we'll bring that into the show tomorrow. But I'm pretty focused on the show, and sometimes I don't know what's going on while we're on the air. So if that happened and that's new, okay, that's fine. The last I heard was his grandfather said that, but we didn't know that for sure. So, you know, I have never told a lie on the air. I am honest, and everything I say about Donald Trump is true. and I talk about the things that are in the news. And really, that's all that needs to be said about this. And if you want to join us with a comment this afternoon or any time, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. It's 504-260-1870. We talk a lot about music on the show, too, even when we talk about President Trump. On the Scoot on the Air calendar, on this day in 1967, the Summer of Love, Jefferson Airplane's kind of psychedelic song, White Rabbit, got into the Billboard charts. It peaked at number 8, and it was one of those songs.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
That kind of got in there without the radio censors knowing it was about drugs. I mean, how do they not know it's about one pill makes you this, one pill makes you that? This song was clearly about drugs. But it got on the air and it reached number 8, which was a pretty big deal. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back with you on WWL. All right, WWL and the Riverfront Marketing Group invite you to go forth on the river. It's this Friday, Independence Day, July the 4th, at the historic New Orleans Riverfront. It is a world-class and free fireworks display, and it is spectacular. And Debbie Bresser with the Riverfront Marketing Group joins us on WWL. Debbie, good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot, how are you?
I'm good. This is just an annual event that never fails to please.
It really doesn't. And, you know, y'all have been working to grow it to what it is today. Its international reach is phenomenal. But it's for locals, it's for tourists, it's for all of us. And this year, we are going to have some of the most colorful, dramatic shows and special effects than we've ever had before. We have a new fireworks company. It's going to be amazing, Scoot.
You know, it's amazing also that they stop commerce on the river for this fireworks display. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got these ships that might be heading for, you know, Europe or somewhere in the Middle East, and they stop everything to do this fireworks display. It's kind of cool.
They do. That's part of what the Coast Guard does for us, and with the permit that the fireworks company, Pyromania, has to get. And it stops, you know, not just for us right where we see it in order to move the barges out, but it starts hours and hours and hours before, like you said, before they get into the area. They have to stop and wait for us to finish our show.
You know, almost every year, Debbie, I see something different, and it's amazing how these people who are into these pyrotechnics stuff, it's amazing how creative they are, and they through their own creativity, they find new ways to do things, and there's always a surprise.
It really is. And when we were looking at new proposals for this year, and we saw pictures, the first thing that got my eye was the 17-story tall patriotic peacock tail. You've got to see that. You've got to go look at that on the 4th. And then the shell of shells. There are ones that is solid gold, and then it bursts into other little pieces, and some come out of that one. I mean, these are just all so amazing. And it really is a first time for us. We've been with the same people, which was great, for years. And now with these, and from Benton, Louisiana. And we are just so excited about this. And the community, once again, as you know, every year we start from zero and come back to what we need to do the show. And thanks to WWL and Magic, and of course to the Mayor's Office of Cultural Economy and New Orleans Tourism Cultural Fund, and 25 other sponsors, we make it happen, and y'all make it happen, and we're so grateful.
Yeah, and the spectacular fireworks display is synchronized to patriotic music on the Mississippi. It all starts at 9 o'clock, and it's amazing to watch the fireworks reflect off the river, and it's really quite an event when you think about how divided we are as a country, and we come together and celebrate the birthday of America on the 4th of July, which is this Friday, and people will gather at the river. All kinds of different people gather at the river from here, from out of town, from somewhere around the country. And we all gather, and politics is all put aside, and everybody's just enjoying this moment when we're celebrating the birthday of America.
That's right. That's right. We're all there together. And there's so many ways to view the fireworks. Of course, free along the historic New Orleans Riverfront, from the French Market District all the way to the Hilton. And you could make reservations for fireworks crews on the steamboat Natchez or the Creole Queen. You can get a bird's eye view by buying a ticket at Vue Orleans and experience fireworks 400 feet in the air. And also, Hilton's going to have a pool party. You could get a cool view from the pool.
Wow.
So there are lots of fun ways to watch it to come out. This is going to be a spectacular show. And, of course, the General Kelly is going to be coming out from 6:30 to 7 o'clock, the old fireboat. And that's always so exciting. And you've got to go to WWL.com is going to have the music, and also goforthontheriver.com. There's so much more information. Come down early. See the Trinitones, an a cappella group coming in from Dublin. They just did the national anthem at the Yankees game. So they're going to be in New Orleans. So there's so much going on here in so many ways to enjoy the 4th and enjoy it as only New Orleans can.
Yeah, and bring the kids, if you have kids, and explain to them why we have this celebration. And also, Debbie, you know, great view from either the East Bank or the West Bank.
That's absolutely right. Absolutely. It's terrific. And you and I have been down there so many times. You just watch as the crowds start gathering, as it gets closer and closer to time. It's like from where we were at the Westin, it's always like ants at a picnic. It's like they stay in the air condition, and then they just come out. You know, Helen used to love to watch that.
Yeah.
She would start counting the people.
It's a great event. Mm-hmm. It's a great American event. And fireworks on the river is a really special thing. I mean, you know, you're going to see fireworks maybe in Omaha, Nebraska, or in other places, but you know, to have this take place on the river is very, very special.
Oh, absolutely. Nobody does it like we do it. And, you know, it is a New Orleans style in the way where you come down, you eat, you drink, you can go do all kind of things in the quarter, everything along the river. It's just a way to celebrate, and a special way to celebrate. Yeah. And it's a community-based event, and we need community support, and we're so fortunate to have it.
And it's free. Debbie Bresser, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Scoot.
All right. All right. So, yeah. So it's this Friday, 4th of July, starts at 9 o'clock. And, you know, get down there early and you can find a place to park or take transit downtown and enjoy the celebration of America's birthday and put politics and everything aside and just look around you. And we'll talk more about this on Thursday's show. But look around you and look at the different people who are there celebrating one thing. America's birthday. Okay, let's take a break here. We'll come right back with some of your calls. And if you want to join us, the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Also, let me mention that this is Canada Day. July 1st is Canada Day. It's a day that Canada celebrates the anniversary of the Constitution Act, which consolidated three territories into a single nation of Canada back in 1867. Now, as you know, President Trump wants to make Canada the next state. That's not going to happen. That was an ego trip the president was on. And now we're having problems with tariff wars and Canada. We did stuff to Canada. Canada's doing stuff to us. And it's really sad that Donald Trump has created this animosity with our neighbors to the north.
Just want to, we are going, but the jury has reached a verdict in the Sean Diddy Combs sex trafficking trial. We don't know yet what it is, but they are done deliberating. We should know hopefully very soon.
You know, this is considering how long this trial went on. This was not a long time for the jury to deliberate, and I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
I heard one legal expert say that when long trials take place, usually the jury has made up its mind very early on in the case how they feel about it. What do you think it's going to be? I think he's going to be found guilty, but I'm not going to be surprised if he's found not guilty because of the idea that there was a lot of consenting to what happens, that these were consenting adults. But I brought this up. I don't know what part of kicking the hell out of somebody on the ground, kicking a woman on the ground, I don't know what part of that was consensual. So there's a lot that doesn't indicate that all of this was consensual. All right, we got to get to a break here. On the Scoot on the Air calendar, on this day in 1974, Connie Francis received $2.5 million in judgment against Howard Johnson's. She was raped at a Howard Johnson's in New York 2 years earlier, and she spent the entire $2.5 million on a victims' rights group. And she was quite a hot singer back in the day. But this is the day she won the judgment. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Scoot on the Air calendar, on this day in 2023, Tracy Chapman became the first African-American woman to have a chart-topping country song as the sole writer when Luke Combs' cover of her 1988 hit Fast Car hit number one on the U.S. country airplay chart. So it was quite an honor. And you know, when this first happened, some people thought it was a cultural appropriation for Luke Combs to do it. Let me tell you, Tracy Chapman is appreciating the money that she's getting from Luke Combs covering her song, and I think it was more cultural appreciation than cultural appropriation. Let's go to Metairie. Daryl, you're on WWL. Thanks for hanging on, Daryl.
Hey, Scoot. How's it going?
Good.
So, with your Gulf of America analogy, I know you wanted to be corrected as soon as possible. The length of mileage on the Gulf, on Mexico border is about 1,250 miles, and the U.S. border is about 1,492 or 1,500 miles, and that doesn't include the Florida Keys. I just stopped at the bottom of Florida.
Okay.
So we do actually have more land on the Gulf of America.
Well, I'm gonna check my source, because I looked that up and I did the same thing, and it turned out that what I saw, Mexico had more of a border with the Gulf. But I'll check that, Daryl.
If you go to Google Earth, you can measure, and it's really cool to do that, because you can measure around anything, measure around your property, whatever you want to do.
Okay, I'll check that.
Also, you know, the caller, Jeff, at the end of the last hour, I think he made a lot of good points, and I was really disappointed in the way at the end when you couldn't answer him, you started making fun of him.
What did I not answer?
Or, you know, he got his feelings hurt and stuff like that. I think that was uncalled for.
Well, what did I not answer? I mean, he's the one who said that it hurts people's feelings. And I'm thinking, what kind of whiny baby are you that, oh my God, an opinion hurts your feelings? I thought that was what Republicans said of Democrats, that they're all snowflakes, because that's the definition of somebody who has their opinion, who disagrees with an opinion and has their feelings hurt. The guy was a classic snowflake. But what did I not answer?
I think, you know, he went back and forth with you and had good points. And then toward the end, when you couldn't refute what he was saying, I don't remember.
What was one of his good points?
Oh, well, this points about the guy not being a racist just for deporting people. I mean,
I didn't say he's a racist just because he's deporting people. I mean, that's not the only thing that Stephen Miller has spoken out about. There are a lot of things that he's spoken out about. And in my opinion, I think he's a racist. So
right.
We can have different opinions on that.
Yeah, it seemed like you made your opinion on that because he's deporting people.
That's not the case. I mean, I didn't say that, Daryl. I mean, I didn't say that to you. I didn't say that to him. If, you know, if that's what you people are grabbing out of it, well, that's not my fault. I didn't say that I never said that he's a racist because he's deporting people. The way he's going about deporting people is one of the signs that I think he's a racist. But there are racists in this country, and I think Stephen Miller is a racist. We can disagree.
You know, whenever we had to round up the Japanese in the 40s, or, you know, whenever that happened, we had to go by the way they looked, because we can tell by the way somebody looks kind of where they're from.
Yeah, and we've kind of changed since then. We've kind of changed, and I wasn't around then, so I can't speak to that.
Yeah, but you know, we have to make decisions. A lot of people came in that looked a certain way.
Yeah,
so
that's right. Would you say you're a middle-aged white guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, you look just like all the child pornographers that we see on the news. Should we take a look at you and think that you got some child porn at home?
Well, I mean, that would be fine. But what I'm saying is, we got to try to get these people out.
Well, I agree. So let's just get the right people out.
Yeah, of course. Well, you grab somebody, and if they're here legally and they have their paperwork, then fine. If they don't, well, they got to go.
Well, okay, but it seems like some of the wrong people are being taken. The main thing that I was rebelling against is the idea that there's a quota. There shouldn't be a quota because it causes people to forget about the rules to reach the quota. Whatever the quota is in any situation, people will go out of their way to sometimes forget about the rules to reach the quota. And it seems like we should get the illegal people out of this country, but there shouldn't be a quota. We shouldn't just go round up people to meet the quota and then weed out the ones that really shouldn't be arrested. I mean, have you ever been arrested?
No,
I haven't.
Yet.
I haven't been either. Well, I hope you never are. I hope I'm never arrested. But that's got to be a traumatic experience. And so, you know, if you're really not supposed to be rounded up, why are we rounding you up? That's my problem with the whole thing. It's kind of like when I knew that there was government waste and things needed to change. But when DOGE started just firing everybody and then now they're desperately trying to get some people back, which is proof that that was not the right way to handle it. I'm not against getting illegal people out of this country. It's the way that it's being done that suggests a meanness and a degree of racism that bothers me as an American.
Yeah. Well, it's got to be done quickly because, I'm sure at the midterms, he's probably going to lose some of his power.
Well, it shouldn't be about politics, though, Daryl. It should be about humans. You know, we shouldn't rush it and do it before the elections, you know, to make sure that, you know, Trump doesn't get outnumbered in Congress.
We should have these two conversations separately, I guess, since people want to conflate them. It's not helpful to anybody to do that. Stephen Miller is a racist. He's always been a racist. People that went to high school with him have said he's racist. Organizations from coast to coast, the Southern Poverty Law Center and others say, yeah, he's a racist. We've seen emails that he sent to editors at Breitbart News that are dead ass racist, white supremacist stuff. It is also true that he is in charge of Donald Trump's immigration, you know, the deportation policy. He is the mastermind behind that. We are not saying that everybody who wants to get illegal immigrants out of the country must be a racist. It is true that the person in charge of that in the Trump administration is Stephen Miller, who is a known racist.
It's a great point.
End of story.
It's a great point. But why is it so hard for people to believe that a white guy's a racist? Have you not heard of white supremacists? Are you saying that white supremacists are not racist? You know, look, I'm a white guy, but I don't represent all white people. And there are some white people who are bad, 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 evil people. And I don't have to like them just because they're white. I mean, I can be honest about people. And I wish people were more honest and weren't so sensitive about somebody, you know, attacking their race, or that somebody that is equal to your race, or somebody that shares your race is a bad person. That's not impossible to believe. On this day in 1995, on the Scoot on the Air calendar, the legendary Wolfman Jack, famous for his outrageous radio, passed away of a heart attack at the age of 57. I wonder if the cocaine that he stole from me in the mid-80s contributed to his heart attack. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. Hey, if I didn't get to your calls, I apologize. Call us tomorrow. Sports Talk with Mike and Steve coming up next. Let me tell you something about our listeners. Somebody sent in a text and said, I've never been arrested, but I have been in handcuffs. I love this audience. I want to thank Diane Newman, Ian Hoke, Market Manager Dan Barron, Traffic with Core DP. As always, I thank all of you for being part of the show. I'm Scoot on the air. Have a great afternoon. Love you, New Orleans.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.